Maximise your end of financial year savings with exceptional tax time purchasing opportunities from Mercedes-Benz Ferry. Here's four-time Premiership Hawk, Jordan Lewis.
Lewis from 40, low, hard
goal. Great to have Jordy with us in the studio here. Missed him last week, actually. Must have had a better offer, but nice to see you, Jordy.
I don't know about better offer. Stuck at home with four kids. Oh, I couldn't wait to get out of the house this morning. I actually went to the supermarket and walked around for an hour yesterday just to see other people. I got a few things, so it was all legal. But
you got four kids.
It's nice to be out.
You got four kids.
Three and one on the way.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you are a busy man.
Yes, it's nice to be out. Oh, gee, it was hard to get up this morning.
No wonder you... Oh. I tell you what, just to give everybody an insight, that Geordie, he's been sitting outside waiting to come on our show since 6 o'clock this morning.
Don't give away my secrets. It's funny. Well, the boys and girls that come into Fox, actually, it's quite funny. We sit on the couch and watch three games on a Saturday in there, and we don't necessarily have to be there that early, but we all swan in a bit earlier and enjoy the peace and quiet.
I've noticed that of all those boys in there, Nick Revolt can get in there at 2 o'clock
at 8:30
on the couch. Hey, surprise yesterday when you heard the news about Bucks?
I think looking back over the past couple of weeks, for me it was inevitably going to happen, I suppose, because there'd been so much change within this football club, and probably the last one, unfortunately, that had to be the circuit breaker was Nathan Buckley. But I just didn't think it would happen this quickly. With all the stuff that had come out, the way that Graham Wright had been interviewed, the way that Nathan Buckley had been interviewed, and I know it was to sort of keep the press at bay, but then they just went cut. And then it was done and dusted. So that was a surprise how quickly it happened.
Is that the right thing to do?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Unfortunately, that group probably needed a fresh voice and a fresh face around the footy club. He's a big personality. He's been there for a huge amount of his life. And the amount of change that had happened off the field, I think it also had to happen on field. And it either had to be, I think I said on this program, it either had to be maybe Nathan Buckley, or if they wanted to rejuvenate the coaching staff, so the assistant coaches under him, because the game plan that we saw on a week-to-week basis wasn't getting it done.
You know, the influence, this is, I've spoken to Collingwood people around this issue about the way they play. And I had a conversation, somebody told me about the influence that Longmuir had when he was at Collingwood. And there was a certain way that he was connecting with the players and the game plan, that type of thing. In your time at football in Hull, have you seen that, where a line coach has had that sort of influence potentially over the group and the way they play? And when they go, there's a huge change in the way the game's constructed?
Yep. So Hawthorne, before Luke Beveridge got to Hawthorne, it was old school defence, I would say. You'd go back shoulder, you'd try and defend your man. You wouldn't necessarily come off and defend someone else. When Luke Beveridge got there, he changed the way we defended by being assertive. And now you see a lot of the sides out there, probably except for Carlton, now they defend assertive. So in front, and what they would used to say is, we defend like one and a half men. So if we're defending our man, you've got to be able to reference another contest. So you've got to be able to come over and impact in the air. And Luke Beveridge completely changed that. The ball movement stuff from Hawthorne probably came from Clark Owen and David Rath. And we would always, going through those years, we would always have options. So when I watch football right now and I see sides continuously going back to the same option, and I saw that with Collingwood. I did Collingwood versus Geelong, and you can see as soon as they mark the ball, they look boundary. So for me, that's been coached to be quite safe. So you get your defence set up. What, you know, the good sides would do would have different modes in which they would attack. So, hopefully with the new coach coming in to Collingwood, that would be the case.
Has he got enough time, Rob Harvey, then, to put his stamp and imprimatur on this group of players and change the way they play, if he in fact thinks that they need to change?
Well, that's the interesting part. So you go from an assistant coach to now being in charge, and how much do we see visually that changes that might give you a bit of an insight in terms of the struggle that the assistant coaches had with Nathan Buckley on a week-to-week basis, trying to play different ways. So you would hope to see a change to him, because probably the last three games that I've watched Collingwood play have been probably the hardest three games of football I've watched. So I feel for the supporters, because as a supporter, I think you want to see your side go out there and defend really well. I get that. But attack and be quite creative and show some flair. We just haven't seen that.
You've had a long time with Sam Mitchell. Shane Crawford yesterday came out really strong in his support of Sam. Do you know where he's at with it all? Does he think he's ready? Do you think he's ready? Where do you see Sam Mitchell?
Yeah, so, I mean, I can only clearly comment on the guys that I've been involved with. And for me, if they were to come to me and asked us, would you say Sam Mitchell is ready to coach? I would say yes. That would be my answer. I think he's at that stage now where he had an unbelievable playing career. He was like a coach during his playing days. He then goes over to West Coast. They make a grand final. He's influential in that happening, and then comes back and coaches under Alastair Clarkson. And now he's gone and coached his own side. So I think that's a box you need to tick. I think when we saw Alastair Clarkson, Hardwick, Adam Simpson start their coaching careers, they were all around the 37 to 38 years of age. So what that primarily does is allows you to grow with the group. So when you get young kids, you can relate to these young kids, you can help them through, you can coach them. And the biggest thing I think with this Collingwood appointment, it won't be smooth sailing. So the most important thing I think in this next 5 to 10 years is board stability. If you don't have that, it doesn't matter who goes in as coach, whether it be Ross Lyon, whether it be Sam Mitchell, whether it be someone else. If stability from a board level point of view isn't there, it's hard to see this coach make it through this period.
What would hold him back? Sorry, what would be the one thing, and you're saying he's ready to coach, which is a great endorsement, but what would be the one thing that he may have to be acutely aware of getting right?
I think the knock on Sam throughout his career would have been the way he's dealt with people, so his personal skills.
Right.
But from what I hear, his time at Box Hill, he's been unbelievable with the young kids and the players coming back. And sometimes you go from a player and you are very much single-focused. What can I do? How can I get myself better? How can I help the team win? To a coaching environment where it's not about you anymore. So I think he's made that transition quite well. The only question mark would be he's never coached before. So you always go into that with some trepidation about, wow, can he do it? But sometimes if you take a risk, you get handsomely rewarded on the other side.
Who else would you consider?
I've been a big advocate of Adam Uze. I've seen him at Hawthorn, and I've seen what he's done at Melbourne, and I think he's just got that balance right about high footy IQ, but also the ability to create relationships. And I speak to the Melbourne players now, and they just can't believe how good he is. And that's their opinion, and I totally agree with them. The other one I'm hearing a little bit is Gian Siracusa, who you might know as a defensive coach at Essendon. He's had a big say in how they've bounced back and defended.
Yeah, I don't know too much about him personally as a coach, and I haven't really had conversations about him. Gary threw the idea, and you're the most recent of us three that's come out of the game, the idea of having a managerial type coach, somebody who just deals in the relationships of the players and sits above, you know, the coaching staff, and not the traditional type of coach. And then obviously you've got the strategists and all that type, line coaches below that. Do you see that as a system that can work with the modern day player?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think if I look back on my career at Hawthorn, that was certainly the way that Alastair Clarkson had gone, because we'd been there for 10 years and heard the same voice, he understood that he had to step back and let other people take the reins. And all our pre-seasons would be done by assistant coaches. All the meetings would be done by assistant coaches, except for the main meeting before the game would be done by Alistair Clarkson. And on game day, it would be done by Alistair Clarkson. But a lot of the other stuff was done by assistant coaches. So,
did you ever feel that it wasn't Clarko's team then?
No, never.
So how did he manage that?
Well, I think it's we saw that he was delegating, because I think if he didn't go along that path, that we would get absolutely sick of the same message from the same person. So I can see some credibility with the new coach being appointed if that is a senior coach like Ross Lyon, to have someone who potentially could take over in 5 years underneath him, really learning how to go about it. And that could be a Sam Mitchell, a GNC accuser. Or I think Adam Uzay is ready to coach himself, so I don't think it would work for him, but certainly the other ones.
Interesting stuff from Jordan Lewis here. The Carlton, we just talked about Carlton and how they would have been and continue to be the talking point since their mid-season review. It's been just shunted back a little bit, not going away, obviously. Justin Lepich spoke about players going behind backs. Now, I'm not suggesting this is what's been going on at Carlton, but historically that can happen. That's when you know that your footy club's in massive trouble and you've got a problem with the group, is when there's backstabbing and little cliques forming and, you know, those sorts of things. How best to deal with that if you're in a Carlton situation? And again, I'm not saying that's happening, but you've got senior players that are now, they'll be challenged for their spot. How best to deal with that for David Teague?
It's a difficult one, because I think in that instance, if you approach the players who are talking behind your back, they're not going to be upfront with you. They're just going to tell you exactly what you want to hear. So in that instance, you're reliant on the leadership group. And why the leadership group is important and the way you select a leadership group is you need people in every little part of the club. So you need some youth, you need some players with experience, you need some players who might not necessarily be the best player on the team, but they've got great relationships with everyone. So that's where you've got to go to and ask the leadership group, is this what you're hearing? How can we go about rectifying that? Because it's the worst thing that could creep into a footy club. If you've got players that are talking behind other players' backs or talking behind the coaching staff's backs, then performance is the first thing that gets hit. And that's the unfortunate part. When you're struggling for form yourself as a team, if you've got that happening within your club, it's not a good thing.
Were you ever confronted with that situation at Hawthorn? Was there ever a time where your views about Al Clarkson were considered by board members? Or
no, there wasn't. We it's quite boring to. We had quite a smooth sailing.
Well, you're being successful.
Teams,
that's why,
yeah. But there was certainly times in maybe 2009, 2010 where we never questioned Alistair Clarkson the way he could coach. It was probably the board and the supporters and wondering why we'd been successful and then sort of gone down this other path. We were really only questioned internally about the way that we led and the things that we would say, but not necessarily do on field. So we would demand a lot of others, but yet we weren't holding up our end of the bargain. And that came to a head in a pre-season camp meeting.
Might be the reason why they were so good too, the Hawks. They didn't have those issues. So Jordan Lewis with us on the other side. We did ask him to give us the team with the best centre quartet. I think Tim put that on the agenda at about half a minute to nine the other day, so we never really got to it. So Geordie will answer that for us. We'll have a look at tonight's game, and Quinton Arkell out of the Geelong side, get his thoughts on that.
Kogan credit cards. No annual fees, amazing rewards, and complimentary Kogan First membership.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
And Jordan Lewis, who joins us on a Thursday every single week ahead of around 13. Geordie, Tim asked who's got the best starting four in the competition at 8:59 and 38 seconds the other day. So we never got a chance to talk about it, but we gave you the homework. What have you come up with?
Did you go with yours or no? You didn't get yours out in a minute.
I went with the West Coast Eagles.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I went with Nick Nanui.
Yeah.
Kelly, yep. Shuey, and Yo.
Yep. So I think really the contenders are the Brisbane Western Bulldogs, Geelong, Port, and Melbourne. So The more I look at it, the more I tend not to look at numbers. I think sometimes they can be a little bit skewed. So, and I know I'll get ribbed for this, but what I've gone with, I've gone with the Melbourne quartet, Gaz.
Right.
In Gawn, Oliver Petrarca, Harms and Brayshaw. I know that's more than four, but on the wing. But let's cut out Brayshaw and Harms. So Gawn, Oliver Petrarca, and Harms.
Yep.
With a nice little bit of an injection of Cozzy Pickett every now and then.
A bit of Viney if he's playing.
And Viney. I missed him.
Why do you like that four?
I think it provides good balance in terms of speed, explosiveness, and then if you add in Viney, that's the in and under type. I think if you look at, say, Western Bulldogs, for me, they're a little bit same. I think the Bulldogs are probably balanced like Melbourne. The only real time that Melbourne have been wiped off the park is the Sydney game where they got smashed out of the middle. And the reason why I like Melbourne as well is if you get beaten in the centre bounce, you're very rarely coming out the front of a stoppage. So they defend really well, whereas if Melbourne get the ball, they work out a way to get themselves into that launch pad that allows them to kick the ball deep inside their forward 50. So it'd be a good contest between your mids and mine.
Mm.
Yeah, indeed, it would. Now, listen, tonight, Port Adelaide and Geelong, massive game. Adelaide Oval. Yeah, Port Adelaide, well, the question about is their ability to beat the teams above them or that are contending really strongly. I think they're 1-3 against the real contenders. So they got a bit to prove. Kenny Hinkley says not, but we all are going to watch for that. And then the Cats, you know, clearly we want to see what happens to them when they get everyone back. Narkel out, Dangerfield back. Just give me your thoughts, please.
Yeah, I was a bit perplexed. I think, like you guys, that would happen. His last two games have been very good. I watched his game in the reserves when Geelong played West Coast, albeit it was against the AIS side, but he really stood out. And then the last couple of weeks, just the explosiveness around stoppages, the ability to fend off and continue on, he's certainly built that body strength up. So that's an interesting omission, I think. I think when we see players and we think they're playing well, yet they find themselves out of the side, one is clearly for players coming in, but two, it may be the defensive side. So what he's doing without the ball might be causing some issues with Chris Scott. But, I mean, they've been pretty good without Dangerfield. So Dangerfield comes back in, and if there's a knock on his game, it's probably his ability to run out games or to defend in a manner that you need to defend in this day and age. So where do they play him? He's done some work off field. So he's done some running and getting his fitness base and the ability to play, but nothing matches that game intensity. So when he's in the middle, how does he go short spurts? And then where do you put him down forward?
If you're the opposition coach, where do you want him playing?
Oh, midfield.
You want him? Why though?
Well, because he's so dangerous in the forward 50. I think.
Is he exploitable for the opposition coach? Is
he in the midfield? He is. Yeah.
Is his defensive part of his game exploitable?
Absolutely, in the midfield for sure. I would, if I was the opposition midfield coach, I'd be putting a player on him that knows when to leave him. So around the stoppage, absolutely mark him. When that play has been won or lost, I'm putting that player to make good decisions. So if you've won the ball, challenge him forward because that has been an area where he hasn't been as good as ball in hand.
Does that apply to all those great gun midfielders?
Yeah, over my time, I think that all the reviews that I've sat through where midfielders have had unbelievable games and we've reviewed or previewed midfielders from other teams, the one, I suppose, knock on their game is their want and their desire to defend the other way.
Coming up to 8:30, I just want to get this one out. Brett Ratton's handling of Max King. There was some talk about the criticism of him, and that's okay. Love people supporting their players. He looks like he needed a spell. That's the way I assessed him 2 weeks ago, and he had a quiet game on the weekend. But they haven't got any players. They're down to sort of the bare numbers. What's the challenge there for Brett Ratton?
Yeah, so I think the challenge is to fill Max with confidence that he can play injured. And I think that's a challenge with all young kids coming through the system. And I went through it. You guys would go through it. I remember waking up one day and I couldn't get out of bed. And I called Andrew Russell, who was our then fitness coach. I said, Jack, I can't play today. I literally cannot get out of bed. He goes, get your head around yourself playing. So then it's that mental battle about, okay, so I might not be fully fit. What can I do to help contribute to a win today? And for Max, it's, yep, he might have a sore back, but what can he do to show his team and to show his coach that they can have faith when he's a little bit injured to be able to perform? So, he needs to bounce back. He certainly looked off last week and maybe that back was causing him a few issues. But when you're out there, you're
ready to
play.
Who wins tonight, Port Adelaide Geelong?
Oh, it's a good question. I think Port, and if I was Port Adelaide, I would try and manipulate matchups forward of the ball. And if I could get Dixon on Henderson, I think that would benefit me as a Port Adelaide coach.
Outstanding as always. Good after a spell. Come back really fresh. Great work, Geordie. enjoy the weekend. We'll talk again next week.
Good on you, boys. Have a good weekend.
Jordan Lewis, always here for Mercedes-Benz. Berwick, pay premium trading prices on all makes and models.